wanted to add one thing, that two things. First of all, the second tape is better than the first, because the first one we were making approaches. I really should redo the whole thing, but I hopefully I'll be able to lean out to redo it. But I just want to, as a matter of record, the first one was just approaches. The second one, I think we got to, and the things that have changed, is it working out?
Yeah, okay.
The things that we changed, you know, I mean, if you listen carefully, you see that there was that the second one was much more advanced. I just want to mention that. And secondly, what I want to say is that there was one thing, there's one term that I would remove from the from the analysis, in the process of analysis, and that is, I mentioned Kovashis Yitzro, and I want to clarify that. That the Ashmedai is not Kovashis Yitzro, by the way. The Ashmedai is Oved Meira, and I didn't emphasize that enough. The Ashmedai is not the Kovashis Yitzro, the Ashmedai is the Oved Meira. You see? There's a tremendous difference between the two. You see, the Ashmedai is an analysis where, for instance, where he mentions that the I use the term Kovashis Yitzro, but it should be understood only descriptively, not in terms of like the Rambam has in Shmona Prakim, I think it's Paragashishi, right, where he has the difference in Kovashis Yitzro and Oved Me'ava. That's a different kind of a Kovashis Yitzro. I was talking about the process of Krishas, the process, but it's not the same process even. But my point is, I just want to make sure that you understand that, for instance, where it mentions about the Ashmedai that he harms himself, and the neurotic elements, the obsessiveness, all those things are properties of the Oved Meira, not the real Kovashis Yitzro. Because the real Kovashis Yitzro is Kovashis Yitzro Bedaito. That's a different level. That means that the das and the understanding of evil is what causes him to turn away because of his knowledge. But the Oved Meira is a different level. That's the level that the Rambam writes. Ein roi lavor eser Hashem mala derech hazeh. But that is the largest proportion of people that in the religious community. It's not Kovashis Yitzro. It's very rare, Kovashis Yitzro. Kovashis means he has to have a tremendous amount of das. It's Kovashis Yitzro bedaito, means he really understands. That's al ken yom emotional bo cheshbon. That's chah mitzvah keneged hafseda. It means it's not a reaction. He understands and he sees what the loss is and what the gain is. He understands it. And that's why he goes naturally towards the good, because he understands his mind, he sees it clearly. You see, of course, there's a pull and there's a tug of the emotion, but his mind, you see, prevails. So that's the Kovashis Yitzro that the Rambam is talking about when he says who is better, the Kovashis Yitzro or the Oved Me'ava. But the Oved Meira is a completely different thing. That's the Ashmedai. The Ashmedai is really a representation of the individual that is completely an Oved Meira. You see, and that's why all those neurotic elements, and the elements where, for instance, where he harms himself, and where he backs off, and all those things are representations of the Oved Meira. I just want to make that point very clear. Okay.
What?
Now, I want this, Maxime had a, I was looking for this Rambam, actually. It's a Rambam that corroborates our interpretation of the Ashmedai in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam says on the verb Yolad, that's the chapter 7 in the first book of the Mara. So the Rambam says, page 20 in this, then the, what do you call it, Dover edition. A man who has instructed another in any subject and has improved his knowledge may in like manner be regarded as the parent of the person taught, because he is the author of that knowledge. And thus, the pupils of the prophets are called the sons of prophets, B'nai Hanavim. It doesn't mean they're the children. Biologically, it means they're their students. As I shall explain when treating of the homonymity of men. In this figurative sense, the verb yolad is employed when it is said of Adam, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Vayechi Adam shloshim meyashanav vayolad muso ketzalma. Vayolad muso ketzalma. So what does it mean? So he says, as regards the words, the form of Adam and his likeness, it says Vayolad Bidmuso Ubitsalma. I mean, it's what does the Pasuk have to say that? It should have said Vayolad Banam Banas. What's Vayolad Bidmuso Ubitsalma? What is the Pasuk telling you? Of course, Bidmuso Ubitsalma. So he says, so the Rambam says, those sons of Adam who were born before that time were not human in the true sense of the word. They had not the form of man. That's what the Pasuk says. Chi Adam Shloshim. What's the Lashon of the Pasuk? Shloshim Arashim Vayolad Bidmuso Ketzalma. Okay. So what does it mean? I mean, never says that by anybody else. Of course, we're able to do it. Every animal always reproduces in its own form, and man, insofar as that's concerned, is no different than the animals. So what does it mean? So the Rambam says that pasuk does not mean yolad in the physical sense. He says vayolad b'dmusa ketzalma over there. He says it's to be understood figuratively. It means vayolad over there means he taught him. He had the tzura and he produced in him the tzura sa Adam. Because in Adam, see, our concept of Adam is not that a person is learned, which means there is the person and his knowledge. Our concept of Adam is that when a person attains knowledge, he's a different person. That's when the tzura sa Adam becomes fulfilled. You understand? In other words, man is basically a raw potential, and when he realizes potential, knowledge is part of him. It's like if he doesn't gain knowledge, he's not another. That's vayolad bidmuso ketzalmo means that Rambam says doesn't mean it's not referring over there to the physical process of procreation. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Vayola, that pasuk is not to be understood literally. That's what the Rambam is saying. Pasuk is not understood literally. It means vayola bidmusa ketzalma means that he was able to reproduce another individual in the tzela malakim. Okay? That the Rambam talks about dimus and tzalma. It's another discussion. Now I say this. Those sons of Adam who were born before that time were not human in the true sense of the word. They had not the form of man. With reference to Shais, who had been instructed, enlightened, and brought to human perfection, he says, it could rightly be said, he begat a son in his likeness and in his form. Okay? Now he says like this, it is acknowledged that a man who does not possess this form, which is means the realization of the potential of man, is not human, but a mere animal in human shape and form. Yet such a creature has the power of causing harm and injury, a power which does not belong to other creatures, because of his intelligence, okay? For those gifts of intelligence and judgment with which he had been endowed for the purpose of acquiring perfection, but which he has failed to apply to their proper aim, are used by him for wicked and mischievous ends. He begets evil things as though he merely resembled man or simulated his outward appearance. Such was the condition of those sons of Adam who preceded Shais. Okay? Now we say like this. In reference to this subject, the Rambam says, the Midrash says, during the 130 years when Adam was under rebuke, he begat spirits, demons, that's Shadim, that's exactly the Lashon of the Shadim. Shadim, yeah. What's the Lashon of the Shadim? Hayamol Ruchas on Shadim. So the Rambam says, that is the definition of Shadim. That is the definition of Shadim. That's correct. I mean, there's no other way to interpret it. It's not a matter of a question. I mean, you have to be stupid to think otherwise. When, however, he was again restored to divine favor, he began his likeness in his form. This is the sense of the passage. Okay, and of course, the pasuk. Vayechi Adam Shloshim Shana. Okay. Yeah. So that's why I said this corroborates. Maxime brought this Rambam to my attention. This corroborates exactly what we said, how we interpreted the whole Gemara, the whole sugya in Gittin, on the Ashmedai, and he was the head of the Shadim, and that's exactly the way we interpret it. In other words, that it was an analysis of man in his lowest instinctual operational state. That's why that's called Ashmedai. That's called the Shadim in Rome, and it's a beautiful analysis, an unbelievable analysis of the lower elements of man. But that's what I want to point out to you, that those elements and those characteristics which the Gemara describes with regard to the Ashmedai are the characteristics of the Oved Meira. I want to make sure we identify them properly. Not the Kovish Hasitro. Not the Kovish Hasitro. So basically, how many lifestyles do you have? Basically, according to the Torah, there are four lifestyles. Four lifestyles. The first is the lifestyle of the lowest, like the Rambam mentions. Vayola bidmusa katzalma means a person who pursues a lifestyle where he is just a human shape. Not form. Form, the Rambam doesn't mean form. You have to be very careful. The idea of form has nothing to do with shape whatsoever. It's a big mistake. But he's just human shape. Okay. Form of the Rambam is the essence. The essence of the earth. So there are people, one lifestyle is where a person simply lives like a behemoth. Totally. He just follows the nefesh of Bahami. That's what the Rambam says, that all those gifts that were given to him have the opposite results, because they are very valuable and very intricately designed gifts. And now he has tools that are very sophisticated tools, and that can be used with the wrong guidance. It's definitely going to result in harm. That's the one lifestyle. That's the lifestyle of all those who do not follow Derech Hashem. That's the lifestyle. The second lifestyle is an individual who hasn't really changed the inner self, but who, because of an external fear, you see, imposes and guides his life in a certain, within a certain framework. Okay, that's the Oved Meira. That's the Oved Meira. That's most of the religious people. Then you have the next level, which is the level of the Kovesh Yitzro, Bidaito, where the individual gains knowledge of good and evil, and he understands it, but there is a tug, an instinctual tug, but he knows how to, he's able to handle and to deal with it. He's able to handle, he's able to deal with it. That's really the Kovesh Yisro. That's a very high level. It's a very, very high level of existence. High level of existence. That means he's beyond the Oved Meir. Oved Meir is the Oved Meir. The first level is the Russia. First level is the Russia. Second level is the Oved Meir, where it's Ein Roi Lavo to Sar Hashem al Derech Zu, but he's not. He's far from being a Russia, okay? Because he's within a certain framework, but it's superimposed. The next level is where he's a Kovesh Yisro Bedaito, which means the knowledge. He has a supremacy of the knowledge. He understands, he has gained knowledge, he has worked very hard and gained the knowledge in his mind, and he applies the knowledge to everyday living, everyday life, and when he feels the tug of the instinct, he's able to think it out, think it through, and to overcome the instinctual through his knowledge. That's a very, very high level. The highest level is the Oved Me'ava. That's the level of Avraham Avinu. That's where there is no instinctual tug anymore, because all the energy is directed towards the highest element of man, which is pursuing knowledge and Yediyas Hashem. That is the only person that is not in conflict, and that is the normal human being. Because normal has to be where the components work harmoniously. But it doesn't mean that there's a great quantitative element there. It does not mean that an individual who is the Oved Me'avo never has instances of Kovesh Yisitro. That's not true. Because even Nevi'im are Kovesh Yisitro. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam says, don't think that a mitzvah is a small thing, a small instrument of perfection, because see, Moshe Rabbeinu himself did a mitzvah to correct. He felt this Maisa mitzvah, as Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Oram, will correct the defect in himself. So he says, don't think that a mitzvah is a small vehicle. The greatest human being recognized he needed a Maisa mitzvah to correct himself. So even the Oved Me'av on the highest level of Adam, nevertheless, that doesn't mean that he's not engaged in Kovesh Yisro. What does it mean? It's a quantitative element. That's the way the Rambam explains in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. It means most of the time, most of his existence is preoccupied in the pursuit of knowledge. His mind is always working. He's always thinking, pursuing knowledge. All the energies are essentially directed to that area. That's the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam explains that idea in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. It's a quantitative phenomenon. It's not the person. That's the Rambam Perek Yilachim. Of a Ketzer Yoavo or Uyo, who she Yehav es Hashem Ava Gedola Yisera Azam Od. Achetein nafsha kshura ba'avas Hashem v'nimtza shoge ba'tomid ki ilu chola chule ha'ava she'ein daito pinuya me'avas oso isha. Like a person in the romantic state where he can't forget his lover. V'hu shoge ba'tomid bein b'shifto bein b'kumo bein b'shor shehu ochel v'shosa. It's even more than the romantic, even more powerful, more consuming than the romantic love. That's what he says. That's the state. It's a quantitative concept. That's what Nevi'im give that mashal. It's a quantitative concept. Interesting. Ram says it's even greater. It's even more powerful than the romantic. You know, he's more preoccupied. But that's a different state of existence. That's the state of a man. Okay. So those are really the four states of human existence. Yeah, Shoga Batamid, yeah. The question was, you see, you have a funny love in the Torah. You got a chumash? It's a strange love in the Torah. The Torah has a love against forgetting something, which sounds like it's not under the human control. They get something. If most people think of forgetting and remembering as just is a mechanical operation of the mind. So how can you tell somebody, don't forget something? Don't forget something? So you'll tell me that the Torah is speaking about, not about physical phenomena, but the Torah is talking about an idea, it's metaphorical language. And Tishkach is metaphorical. In other words, maybe you'll forget about this. You'll forget about the thing. Not really an issa to forget. To actually forget, because that's something that doesn't come under your bechira. It doesn't come under your kocha bechira. So it doesn't come under your bechira, so that you can't have a love about it. And maybe the Torah means that, for instance, Pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha, right? The pasuk says, you have many, many psukim like that. Hisham Elokecha, for instance, Dvarim Ches Yidal. Hisham lecha pentishkach es Hashem alekecha levil tishma mitzvosav mishpatav chukosav shonach mitzav chayam. So you say it doesn't mean forget in the sense that we understand forget, that you actually don't have a recollection, but it means forget. You mean forget about, right? V'hoyam shachach tishkach es Hashem alekecha, right? That you'll forget about God. So it's a metaphor, but you see that that's not true. Why? Because the other pasuk, the pasuk in Dvarim Gimel, Tes, says, "Raki shama lecha shma nafshecha ma'od pen tishkach es advarim asher ro'ei necha." You see, so it's talking about specific phenomena. It means actually, literally, to forget it. You will forget things that your eyes saw. You see, like Rashi says, So Rashi says, "Im kishelo tishkechu osam v'tasam alamitasam techoshvu chachomim unevonim, v'im ta'avsu osam mitoch shikcho techoshvu shotim." So you see, ta'avsu osam mitoch shikcho. Again, I mean, you see, Chazal learn that the iser is to forget, and that's why the Rambam has a love, if I'm not mistaken, right? There's a love that a person is not allowed to forget Torah. That's why he says the Rambam says in Hilchos Tamei Torah. So that's why Mischayev Benafsho, right? And that's why Yemuchiyev Lachzor Tomid. A person must always chazer over his Torah all the time. It says V'imein Alomed Ushachech. The Rambam says. So you see, so what does it mean? So you see that the shikha is not a metaphorical type of shikha. It's literally, because if it was just metaphorical, so how could the Rambam bring down Hilchos Tamei Torah that you must always learn, constantly go over Shas, constantly go over your learning, because you shouldn't forget it. I mean, that's not the forgetting we're talking about. It's a different kind of forgetting, you see. The Rambam says, no, you have to learn, not to worry, because it says pentishka. Where's the remember? That's the same pasuk. That's the pasuk that we in Voschanam. Okay. So you see, it's literal. Ram's talking about literal recollection of details, facts. Okay. So there's a law against forgetting things. I mean, what kind of a love? What kind of a love is that? What kind of a love is that? It's an amazing thing. But I think what Yehadis holds, and it sounds unimaginable, but it's actually true. I mean, what Yehadis is saying is like this: the forgetting and the remembering of a human being is based not only upon his memory. I mean, some people have good memories, some people have photographic memories, some people have poor memories. That's one faculty. That's true. That is a faculty of the brain. But this brain, that part just registers the material. But there's a more significant part, and that's the part of the soul. And the part of this, that part of the soul can cause a complete breakdown of the elements themselves, not directly, not that it can wipe out the memory traces, but it'll make them completely unavailable to the human being's process of living and acting as in his form, in his tzura, like the Rambam says, with his intelligence, okay, to the point where a person can be a great Talmud Chacham, and because of a defect in his character and in his soul, he actually will forget his learning. There's a Chazal like that. It's a Chazal like that. That the Maisa with a certain Chacham, it's a Chazal like that. But the Gemara says about a certain individual. Until he reached a point where he made a wrong decision, and he reached a point where he couldn't even remember the first mitzvah. Yeah. But I don't want to talk about it. It's a very deep chazal. I'm just mentioning the idea. But anyways, it's a matter which I don't think that we should go into right now. But I'm just showing you that concept. And the concept is amazing, but it's true. Which means a person, you could witness, I mean, it's an unfortunate thing to see, but you could see a person who is a Talmud Chacham, and if he goes off in a Derech Ra'ah, if you go back to his understanding of Gemara, you'll see in Talmud, you'll see he lost it all. Simply, the ideas that he had in learning, his level of learning, has been reduced to that of a total ignoramus. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's an amazing thing. So Shikha is two things. The part of the brain, if a person is blessed with a very good memory, or a person isn't, that's That, of course, plays a role in terms of, you know, the mechanical ability. But there's something far more significant, and that is the ability of the... You could have the memory bank could be there, but how do you... The concept of Yahadis is, as we mentioned before, it's not a person and his intelligence. It's a person and his intelligence are one, because intelligence is a part of the form of the Tzuras Adam. So as a person gains more knowledge, he's a different person. He's a different individual. And that element, that form, that Tzura lives and functions and operates, and the method of its function is dependent not on facts in a memory bank. It's dependent on its she'ifa, its attitude, the attitude of the soul. Where is it directed? You see, the shikha the Torah is talking about is a physical shikha. But it's a physical shikha not because the traces have been obliterated, but because the soul has no way to access that the information. And therefore, what happens is, insofar as the soul of the individual is concerned, it's non-existent. It's complete shikha. Non-existent. That's really what the pasuk teaches you, that there is such a phenomenon. It's an unfortunate thing, but if you ever witness such a thing, I have witnessed such a thing, where an individual who was a Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham more than Shesorach, but Shana Pirish, but he went completely off the Derech. And then you'll talk to him, and you'll find out that, amazingly, if you start talking about learning, you'll see the level of understanding is gone. You're reduced to a 13-year-old, 15-year-old. You're completely lost, obliterated. I'll say things that are completely stupid. Anybody who recognizes it is just idiotic. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because that's Tishkach. Because the direction of the soul has been distorted and turned away, and therefore the individual has no recollection, they have no knowledge. The knowledge is gone. Absolutely gone. It's an amazing phenomenon, but it's true. That's what the pasuk is telling you. And it is true. It's true practically. Actually, it's true. So that's what Chazal mean when they say Ein Adama. What do you mean? Why Chazal place such an emphasis on Chazar? Why do they place an emphasis on Chazar? Chazar, if you really want to place an emphasis on being a big bucky, so the main emphasis should be on the memory that you're endowed with. Let's face it, a person has a photographic memory, that's it. You get a regular person, an average person can work, and they won't even approach it. What this person does in one day, you take this person 10 years, and even then he won't have it as good. Okay? So, the only guy that had such a photographic memory, that he saw something once, he saw a page once, he could read it backwards. That's a gift from the Bar Elam. But that itself is not really in Yahadis. That of course is a Birkas Hashem, but that's not the essence. That's not really the essence. The essence is really the direction of the soul. Far, far more, not only far more significant, the only thing that's significant. And you can have the best memory, but if the soul is distorted, the information is worthless to you. And your knowledge of the subject is reduced to the level of a person who never had the knowledge. It's an amazing thing. That's what Yahadis all. That such a phenomenon is possible. That's the possible. Pen tishkach as advar mashar roinah. And that's why the Rambam says, how long is a person chayef to learn? Ad yom asa. Why? Because it says a funny kind of Rambam. What do you mean? It's like, when you first read the Rambam, it sounds like he's a game. You say, how long you have to learn? You have to learn her life. Why have to learn her life? Because it says that he says, "V'imu ein alomed, l'kos mashliyasek v'imu hushachach." What do you mean? It sounds funny. So let's say, for instance, I have a memory that's 100 times better than the average person. So whatever he's going to do, I certainly will remember more than him. So why can I take a break for a year? What's so terrible? You see, if it's a matter of the physical memory, it just sounds funny. So, and let's say, for instance, I'll tell you a person has an absolutely photograph, and will not forget a thing. You say it's not impossible. It's not impossible to have such a mind. So now he's not going to forget. So why is he chayev? Why is he chayev? See, the answer is he's not talking about that kind of a. He's not talking about that kind of forgetting. That kind of forgetting, it's true. A person can be blessed with an unbelievable, phenomenal photograph. I mean, he never forgets a thing. There are people like that will never forget a thing in their life. They said Moshe Feinstein, until he was age 50, never knew what it means to forget something. You know what I mean? What do you mean forget? That's possible. So photograph memory. So there are people like that. People with better memories than that. So that, if that's the case, so then a person like that, so the pasuk doesn't apply to him. As Rambam said, he says, not true. What do you mean a shechayach? Not true. It's not true that a person that has a photographic memory, if he doesn't keep on learning, he's going to forget. There are people who won't forget a thing. Rare, but there are people like that. So the pasuk is not going to apply to them. Doesn't make any sense. But the Rambam's talking about a different kind of forgetting. The forgetting is the forgetting of the soul. The Rambam doesn't say v'kol's man she'ena chozer alimudo. V'kol's man she'lo yasok b'limud hu shechayach. Yasok b'limud. Means as long as this, what is the bracha lasak b'divrei Torah? It means that the divrei Torah is your preoccupation. That's asik. It's asik, like a person in business, constantly thinking about the business, his mind all the time. Remember a very successful business is telling me he gets up 3 o'clock in the morning. He's thinking about it. He can't sleep through the night. Not possible to go through one night without getting up in the middle of the night and thinking about his business. And he said he gets some of his best ideas. He takes a shower at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's true. Yeah, well, that's true. That a person is capable of that. That's lasa. That's asik. That's a human phenomenon. But the Rambam is saying it. But the real asik is you have a mamayit. They would have a mamayit basic lasik b'torah. It's interesting. They call that asik. It's an interesting thing because that's the natural way that man gets involved in those type of things. Very easy. Very easy. You don't have to, you don't need any perfection to get involved in that. As long as it's not an otzel, he's going to get involved in it. But over here, the mitzvah calls man she'ena osei kushocheyach. It doesn't mean he forgets. The memory traces are going to be lost or weakened. Not necessarily. What it means is that the attitude of the soul is going to be such that he has no access to this information. It's absolutely worthless. And his level of knowledge will be reduced insofar as his tzuras ha'odom is concerned. So it's not possible ever to stop. It's not because he's shocheach. So the Rambam interprets the shichah. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. But it's based upon, but the fact is, what Torah Shebachsav points out to us is a phenomenon, which is 100% true. Okay, how good the memory of the person is, his knowledge of the subject will be reduced to simplicity, to nonsense. With his tremendous mind and his memory and everything, doesn't mean a thing. That's in the same line. If you leave learning for one day, the learning leaves you for two. Same kind of. But the idea of chazara, that's why it says ena doma oved oved me'ava chazal say is ena doma misha chazar al pirko me'apamim le'me'apamim v'achas. Okay, what does it mean? It means to say that me'apamim v'achas means it's an endless. It means it reflects an attitude of the soul. It's like the Gemara said about Abaya. Abaya heard Halacha, so he said, "I'm sorry I didn't hear Halacha when I was younger." You see? So the Gemara says, "Well, you heard it now. What's the difference?" No, the Girsa the Yankee said. So when you hear something when you're younger, it makes a bigger impression. It's more a part of you. What does it mean? It means Abaya didn't just want to know the fact. He wanted to have a certain relationship to the Torah. It should be a part of his nature. If I would have heard this when I was younger, it would be more part of my nature. It's a certain attitude of the soul towards Chochmah. Emor l'Chochmah Chosiyot. It's a different kind. It's an attitude of the soul. That's really what the Pesukim are talking about. That's the idea of Chazar. That's the true idea of Chazar. It means a person that's a Lomei Veina Chozer. It doesn't mean a Lomei Veina Chozer. I mean, in the yeshiva when you're younger, tell you, if you don't chaz, you're going to forget. Yeah. That's not really why a person should be chazer. A person should be chazer alimudo because when you love something, you go back to it again. Love something, a person, you can't leave it. It's something you go back to. You're there once, you're drawn back again. That's the real... See? Yeah, Hadronalach. That's right. Very good. That's exactly right. That's the Hadron. Hadronalach. Hadronalach. Masachat. V'daitachalon. Daitanalach. Daitachalon. It means that's the... Losis nishiminach. Losis nishiminach. Right, very good. Losis nishiminach. We shouldn't forget it. That's right. Yeah, long life lashkach pikadach. All right, that's shikcha. That's a different. And you had this, the Torah, the Torah, the Dvar Hashem taught us a different idea of shikcha. It's a different idea. It's not known to the world. This idea of shikcha. It's a different idea, and it's factual. It's factual. As I said, it's very sad to observe such a thing, but it is in the extreme case. In the extreme case, but it's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact about human knowledge, and that's basically the idea. That's the real idea of Chazar. That's the real idea of Chazar. That's the true idea of Chazar. Okay. I mean, the whole Paraki Shemach is a separate thing. Right? Shemach Hashman Afshamad means that a person is interested. A person has a natural interest in existing. That's the basis of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not a mitzvah. It's the basis of Kol HaTorah Kula. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, that your underlying, you are created in a way that you have an underlying desire to exist. But be careful, because if you don't really use your chachma over here, that underlying desire of man to exist is not going to be achieved. That's what he's saying. But Hisham alachor shmo nafshachamo means, Hisham alachor, it means even in a physical sense. Nafshecha is the higher element. That's certainly if a person goes in the wrong derech, that their soul is distorted. But even physically, even on a physical level, yes. We're talking about the distorted nature of man, and the idea of shikha is an interesting quote from the Rambam here. I mean, what he says like this. It's on page 341 in this edition. He says, for it is in the nature of man to strive to gain money and to increase it, and his great desire to add to his wealth and honor is the chief source of misery for man. I mean, basically, that's the difference. That's the attitude of the soul. Yeah, it's a natural thing, he says. You know, that's why, have mamayat ba'asik vasag v'tar, it's called asik. Why I call asik? Because that is in the nature of man, like we mentioned before. It's in the nature of man. It is the chief source of his misery. I want to take up was a different topic. Question of one of the Talmidim of the Yeshiva, former Talmid Yeshiva, brought this question to my attention. He gives a class and somebody raised a question. The question is, what are the ideas behind the Isser of Nakama, the Isser of Nakama, and also, why do we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Elkin? Kel Nakama Hashem. The income Nikmas Dama Vadecho HaShofach. That was the question that was raised. Dama Vadecho HaShofach. So, the question was, why should we ask for such a thing? Alright? It's a good question. I mean, the Derech of the Torah is derachad achay noam. We don't want revenge. We don't want to cause other people to suffer. I mean, it's on the contrary. Even when the Mitzrim were drowning, say it wasn't the time for shira for the malachim because it's ma'isa yadetava bayam. So we never want to harm to any human being. So why suddenly over here? Nikmas, this is a question that's raised. Why is this Nikmas Dama Vadecho HaShafach? Nakama. What? Yeah, you have it in a lot of places. But that's not today anymore. But I'm talking about today. He's saying you're asking for Nakama right now. You want Nakama. Yeah. Kidoresh Domim Osom Zocha Lo Shachach Sakas Navam.
Why are they have a dechal kasav? And he casey, domam loni casey, but Hashem shochem mitzion. The chisvei kadosh nema.
Torahs. You have it in Chamisha Chumash Torah. You have it in Sefer Torahs Moshe. You have it in the in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Lama Yamar Agoyim. So that's the question it is. Why do we ask for Nakama? I mean, Davazer Kosov Batara Vashonu Benevim and Meshulash Baksuvim. So it's an important theme. It's an important theme. Okay. That's the question that they raised. Good question. It means in a comma for every individual that was killed unjustly, every Jew that was killed unjustly throughout the generations. That's what it means. Doresh nam mosam zachar v'shachar tzarkasanav. Let's take a look at the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Deis. The Rambam's like this. Hanokim mechavero. Hanokim mechavero. It's perek zayin lach zayin. Hanokim mechavero over below saser. Shenemar lo sikom. The afal pisha ain't a local law. Deo rohi ad ma'ot. So Ram says that you shouldn't make a mistake and think that onshim are commensurate with evil. Not true. Certain things are not so evil, and the onish is strong. And certain things are very evil, and the onish is light. That's not the that's not the brahma. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Af pisha ain't a local law. Deo rohi ad ma'ot. It's a different system. The system of onshim is based on different criteria. He says, because all these things among for the people that have knowledge are divrei hevel vavoy, things of things that are just totally non-existent illusions and fantasies. The Einon Kedai Linkom Aleya, and they're not worthy of Nakama. Funny Rama. That's my Rama saying, it's not bad to take Nakama. The only thing is that you're not taking it for the right thing. Funny Rama. Then he says, okay, then he says, Ketzer Hiya Nakimo. Interesting. If he doesn't say that, apparently, he's not over the full Avera, it would seem. I mean, let's say, for instance, he says, I'm not going to say anything to him, but he's asking me for it, I'm not going to do it, because he didn't give me he didn't lend me his car. Now he wants my car. I'm not going to say to him, I'm not going to lend it to you the same way that you didn't lend it to me. He doesn't say that formula. He just says, sorry, I can't lend it to you. That apparently is not nakama. Something else. It's not nakama. I mean, because nakama is in this way only in this way. It's only this way. But if you don't really use this formula, it would appear it's something else, and it's mixas nakama. I don't know what it is. It's not real nakama. Real nakama has to be that you tell him, this is exactly what you did this to me yesterday, and I want you to know I would have lent you the car, but there's one problem. Right, you didn't lend it to me yesterday, and now I will not lend it to you. That is nakama. So that's nakama. Doesn't say why. That you don't have to get into. Then the Rambam has the opposite. Ela kishi yavo lo lishol, yitain belev sholem. That is the opposite of that. They have to give belev sholem. In other words, you can't, even if you don't employ the full formula, but you just say, sorry, I'm busy. So he says, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do either. Because kishi yavo lishol yitain belev sholem. V'lo yigmo lo kasher gemolo. So it sounds like there's nakama b'miktas and then there's the nakama b'shlemusa. V'chein kol v'yotze be'elo. V'chein omar dovid b'teyoso v'tovos im gemalti sholmei ro v'achalto v'goma. Okay. In other words, he's saying that he never did that. Okay. So that's the... So it's a funny kind of a thing. I'll tell you, the truth of the matter is I have a stomach question on a comma. I don't understand a comma altogether. Like it seems to me a person that takes Nekama finds themselves in a serious contradiction. Why? Because Manasha, if you say the person did this to you and you deserve it, so then you can't say you want to take Nekama, you owe him a favor, right? But if you say, most people, I've never heard a person say, look, this guy didn't do me a favor, or this guy did me harm because I deserve it. I've never heard anybody say that. I mean, could be that there is such a phenomenon. It probably is. You know, it probably is a really honest person. But that kind of person is not a person that's going to take Nekama anyways. You'll say, on the contrary, I deserve it. It happens once in a while. You come across an honest person that says, look, this guy did this, and I deserve it. Okay. But so the other way, usually it's the other way. The person says that individual was really did something wrong and evil, and they're an evil person because they did this to me, or they didn't help me, or they did me harm, right? So they're evil. That's usually the complaint. So the question is like this: that if they really are evil, so it means that they performed evil. If they performed evil, if you believe that evil is harmful, so they really harm themselves to the greatest degree. A far greater degree than you can harm them by either whatever the small little incidental that represents the deed. You know what I mean? You're telling me that evil is the worst thing. You believe it. So this person really engaged in the worst activity and they harmed their soul to the nth degree. So you should feel sorry for them. That should be the reaction. Maybe you'll feel big, you have a certain loss if they cause you a loss. Okay, you feel a little bit about that, but the predominance of the picture should be of a person that really harmed themselves. So it would seem to me that anyone that wants to take Nekama, is the Rambam shouldn't have said this because it's not Roy. The Rambam's saying because this is not something that's befitting Nekama. I would say on the contrary. What do you mean? How could the Rambam say this? The Rambam is the head of all the philosophers, and the Rambam knows very well. I mean, that the worst thing that could happen to an individual is to do harm to a soul. So I don't understand how Nekama could work altogether. What do you have to have any? What do you have to say? Because the material world is not worthy of Nekama. Rambam should have said because anyone that does a thing like this, he has destroyed a soul. What he said is that if a person takes Nekama, he's an Eina Maimon. He's an Eina Maimon be Yisod HaTorah. Because the Yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula is that Leman Yitav Loch, that God gave us the Torah because this is the good. This is the good for man. And you're saying no. You're saying that evil is good and he's getting away with it and I'm not going to let him do it and I'll get him back. You see? Yeah, what's
going on? First
left?
I didn't do evil.
Oh, that's something. Yes, the first guy, the guy that went after you didn't do evil?
The first, if I go to you and I want to borrow something from you. To me,
it seems clear that a person that takes Nekama is simply a person that is in total contradiction, and he really doesn't believe that the good is really the real good. He believes the good is his physical things and whatever the incident may involve. And he really believes that guy got away with something. He's not going to get away with it.
If I don't get him back,
that's in the distance. First, we have to get him back for what he did. Never mind helping in the future, helping humanity. That's helping humanity is always secondary. First thing is that's the first thing. First thing is get him back. And don't let him get away with it. That's the primary objective. But that's a distortion of Kol HaTorah Kula. That means that everything that the Torah says is false, if you maintain that. That's what this individual has to maintain. Because on the contrary, the good is... He is an evil person. You should feel sorry for him. Say, look, this is Russia. He's destroying himself. He's destroying himself. I have to go destroy him. Believe me, there's nothing I could do to this Russia more than he's done to himself. There's no way. And it happens to be true. And in my opinion, an individual that really is a maimon in the values of the value system of the Torah, that's the way he has to feel and that's the way he has to react. If he doesn't react that way, he's denying the emes. And if he thinks the guy got away with something, he's going to get him back. It's a denial of the whole system of the whole Hilchos Deis and everything. Not the last Rambam, all Hilchos Deis. The whole system of Yaris. Because he maintains that the guy got away with something, which means that it's good to do evil and you can get away with it. And he didn't harm himself on two levels. He's not bikaris. He's very close to me. He's close to being a kafir. Because first of all, he denies the whole thing that the good that the Torah presents for you is the good and evil is evil. That's number one, intrinsically. And secondly, he's saying less din v'less dayan also. He's also saying, because believe me, if you want to harm somebody, and if somebody deserves an onesh, the borei olam can do a far better job than you can even imagine. So that means he's the denial of the dayan hamas. He's the dayan hamas he's denying. He's saying less din v'less dayan. So on two counts, on two counts, basically, he's a denier of the emes.
Yeah, but
he's close to being a kofar, very close to being a kofar. I mean, really, a kofar in the values of the Yahadis, what is the good and what's not the good, and he's a kofar in terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Dayan Olam, Shofet Olam.
But on the level of Ben Adam HaKaver, he's lacking.
Right. The Rambam seems to be forgotten all about that. And the Rambam says, why? Because, he says, because Ein Roy Lo Adam Lias... And to me it seems clearly a person that is above the level of an Oved Meira. I mean, Oved Meira, of course, that's their philosophy, because they really hold it that it really is good, but you know, I'm afraid because God will punish me. So therefore, I can't do it. That's an Oved Meira. But we're not talking about that. That's the Rambam says, Ein Roy Lavad Al Hashem Al Derech Zu. So Losikim Losita is not made for an Oved Meira. You understand? So therefore, it must be for a regular. The Rambam's giving a reason for a regular person, for persons on the highest level, on a high level. But it would seem that the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying, is can I get everything that established this?
What?
The third question is like this. Take a look at the next Rambam. Third question is like this. The Rambam says, he says again, Kishiyavalo Lishol Yitim Belev Sholem. Right? That would seem to include everything. I can't imagine anything else left out. Next Rambam. V'chein kol anoter li echod mi Yisrael over below sasa. Shinem olositus b'nei mecha. Keisad hi anatira. What's natira? What's left? I mean, we did in the comments. It covers everything. No, Reuven Shama L'Shem and Haskili Bias Zeh. Oh, Hashileni Shor Zeh V'lo Rotzah. Same thing. Or is it today? Be with the car. He says, "Let me the car." Didn't want to. L'Yam and Bashim and L'Reuven. Reverse. L'Shem Meno L'Skem Meno V'amal L'Reuven. Heloch. Heloch. Hareini Mashil. Heloch. Take it. Hareini Mashilcha. Ve'eni Kemoscha. Right? Over below Sitor. So you have a guy that says, I'm not going to take revenge, but I want you to realize that I'm not taking revenge because I'm not on your level.
Low despicable.
I mean, so what is it? Isn't that basically the same thing? I mean, because the Rambam says before, the under lo sikim, what are you supposed to do? Yitin lo belev shalem, velo yigmo lo kasher gemalo. Belev shalem. This doesn't sound like belev shalem. Sounds like a fancy way of, it sounds like taking better revenge. Because I say, why? What's more important to a person? He's a smarter fellow. He says, what's more important to the person is not so much the physical, it's psychological. That's why does he want all these physical? Give him psychological enjoyment. I'll hit him in the psychological. That's more painful. In other words, it's more painful to a person. So here, take the lousy car. Doesn't bother me. What do you think, I'm like you? That's basically, yeah. That's the derech. That's that's the real, to me, it seems that's the real smarter, more intelligent no-came. So the question is, why is it two lavim? I mean, it should be two different forms of the same thing. Ha'osek is elva below sitar. Elohim ha'adova miliba velo yitreno. Okay, and then the Ram goes on to another funny reason. She calls manshu notes adova zochro. Every time he does, he is not the shema yavo linkom. Maybe he'll come to be no-came. I mean, so what is this, like a gedder? So that's why you shouldn't do it. Lefichach ekpida tara latira achi yimchav maliba v'lois kren aklal. And then he goes even further. V'zu yadei anachona, this is the right way, she'ef shishi iskayim bo yishiv ha'aretz u'masom u'matonom shel b'nei odom zem zeh. Suddenly he gives a practical political reason, because this is the best way for humanity. It sounds like a... funny reasons over here. I mean, according to the last reason, it's not something intrinsically wrong. Just good kiyum olam demands that you do. So I should hold myself back because kiyum olam. I mean, I don't think my holding back is going to make a big difference in the scheme of broader scheme of things. Maybe everybody should hold themselves back. That would make a difference. But I mean, what kind of a reason is this? A funny kind of reason. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next. All right, and remember, I know it's a week ago, but. Yeah, okay. But that was the most basic question. Right, that's correct. Well, that's the same part. That same question, just two forms. But there was one question. Yeah, that's the same part, the same question. What? Right. That's right. That's another question, right? Another question. That's another question. Another question. That's another question. Okay. All right. What? Are you sure? Also a strange thing, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, just give me a second, yeah. Okay. This question, the most basic question is, what is the, if the Rambam's trying to explain why you shouldn't take Nekama, the Rambam should say very simply that anyone that takes Nekama is just about a kofa be'ikar. Because first of all, he doesn't believe in the values of Torah, because he maintains that this person is getting away with something, and the truth of the matter is that a person that does evil is really harming himself to the greatest degree. Greater than if you lose something physical. So therefore, how should you feel towards a person that does evil? I mean, you should feel sorry for them, basically. If you don't, if you feel that they got away with something, so you maintain that that which the Torah, that the material world is really the good, and he's getting away with it. So that's basically a denial of the whole value system of Kol HaTorah Kula, the philosophy of the Hilchos Deis of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's number one. And number two, basically, a person knows that that Akadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants to get even with this individual, Akadosh Baruch Hu can do a better job than him. So he's saying that this person will not suffer because of Akadosh Baruch Hu's retribution. He will not be nenach. So he believes there's less din v'less dayan. So he's pretty much close to not the karasim. So the Rambam should say anyone that takes nekama is basically a kofar. Because the kofar in the whole tov that the Torah values, the whole hashkofar, the whole hilchos deis of the Torah, and he's a denier of the whole system of Yadus, and the whole basic philosophy of Yadus, and what Yadus says the good is, and also he's the denial of the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a dayan, and you don't have to worry about anything, you don't have to get beaten with him, you leave it to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's what the Rambam should say, but the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam gives another reason. He says, "Va'afal pishein aloka olav deo rohi admaod." Okay, elaroy laladim lias mafel midosav al kol divrei haolam shakol etzal hamevinim divrei hevel vavoy ve'enam kedai lintom aleihem. In other words, according to the Rambam, the issur of nekama is based on the fact that the person is overestimating the physical world. That's what he's saying. Because it's an overestimation of the, it's a heichi timtum where, in which you are overestimating the physical world, and really the guy did you wrong and everything, but it's not kedai, you shouldn't be bothered with this. Don't be obsessed with this. Don't make too much out of being supposed to. That's the whole listen to karma. It's much worse. That's the question we raised. There's another question over there that a person could ask, and that is, Rambam says that what's wrong with nekama? He says, "Ein roi lo lodom yes, ein roi lo lodom el roi sa el roi lo lodom yes mavam midosav al kol divrei olam shakol leitzel hamavim divrei hevel ravoy the einon kedai linkom alein einon kedai linkom alein." So he say ein kedai linkom alein. That's what the Rambam says. Why? Because it's divrei hevel. So that's your question. I mean, Chazal say that Talmud Chacham Mamono Chaviv Yoser Olav Yoser Megufa. Why? So Yaakov went back for the Pachan Katanim. Why? Because it's okay. So of course it says because it's not easy for them to earn a living because they don't take menagezel. They're honest, so it's difficult. But the value of the money is the fact that he can learn Torah. I mean, that's the value. So the value for so a Talmud Chacham values his mamon, because money to him gives him time to sit and learn. I mean, that's the whole value. So how could the Rambam say ain kedai linkom? What do you mean ain kedai linkom? If somebody takes you, somebody harms you financially, you're going to say it's not kedai. Why? Because this is nothing. he could have sat and learned all day. I mean, how can you say it's nothing? Doesn't make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense. Of course, it's nothing for an Amor. It's just going to use it to indulge in his fantasies and taivas. Yeah, you're right. That's nothing. But for Talmud Chacham, how can you say it's nothing? It's really his passport to Torah. Zman. I mean, he how can you say it's a small thing? It's Chavu Lo Yosem Megufa de Gemara. Values it. This is learning. So how could the Rambam say it's ain kedai? This doesn't make any sense. The next question, of course, what's the difference between no came and no there? Okay, no came and no there. Yeah, right. It's a desert. Because natir, it would seem to be that they're both the same thing. It's just two different forms. Instead of me telling the guy, you know something, I'm not going to lend you my car. I'll say, here, take my car. I'm not like you. So it's the same thing. Only one is a psychological revenge, and one is a material revenge. But it's basically the same idea. So why is it too often? Then the Rambam has a funny thing. He says first he describes it, but then when it comes to the reason, he gives a different reason. He doesn't say, why didn't he say the same reason over here? It's not kedai to be note there on Divrei Havoy, Divrei Olam Hazeh. He doesn't say that. He says, Shekol's manshu note there as a dover v'zochro shema yovo linkom. That's like a gzera. It's like a siog. So Natir is a siog. It's the same thing. And why doesn't the Rambam say? Because it's not kedai to be note there the sinah on Divrei Olam Hazeh, because it's not kedai, just like you said before. No, over here he says, because Kol's man shehu noter asadov v'zochro shema yavo linkom, and that's why he says immediately before ala yimcha adov miliba v'lo yitrano yimcha adov miliba. He says l'ficho chikpida Torah al anatiro at she yimcha ha'ovo miliba v'lo yiskereno klal. Amazing. He doesn't have any recollection of it. He doesn't remember it at all. He forgets it. Yeah, that's what we spoke about last. There's a different type of forgetting. There's a forgetting where you erase the memory traces, and there's forgetting where the individual's focus is completely removed from it. You actually can't remember it. Yeah, the zui adeo hanachon, but it results in a complete forgetting. It's an amazing thing, but it's not because the memory traces are weakened. It's because the interest and the energy of the mind have completely removed themselves from that area. The zui adeo hanachona. He says, "She'efsha she'iskayim bo yishev ha'aretz u'masom u'matonom shel bnei adam ze'em ze'." What kind of a reason is this? That's the reason for the mitzvah. So everybody says, "Of course, it's a good idea for the other fellow." But that's the reason why a person should do it. In other words, if there's an intrinsic reason, that's the right thing to do. And if there's no intrinsic reason, nobody's going to do it because it's good for the world. Yeah. Another question. The main question that the group asked was the question of, why do we actually say that Nekama is a wonderful thing? Tell Nekama Hashem. And he mentioned the Chazal. I didn't get to the Gemara Brachas. Godol Nekama Shenitin Bein Shtei Shemas. Right? Yeah. So, Tell Nekama Hashem. So the Shem Hashem is on flanks and on both sides. So you see that it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. Nekama is a good thing. Why do we need Nekama? I think the question they raised was like a... You mentioned with regard to like Avinu Malkeinu, the Kol Nikmas Dam Avodecha Hashofach. Okay, so we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now take Nekama for all the Dam of every Jew that died because of these Rishayim. So, I mean, what do we need it for? What do we need it for? Yeah. Yeah. Kol tam chacham shena no kem the note that kenochash fits into the Rambam's reasoning. Because he says it's only on divrei olam hazeh. That's correct. But the question that we raised is, olam hazeh is very closely tied sometimes, depending on the individual's energies, where his energies are. For some individuals, olam hazeh is very important. I mean, he can't lower that. He needs it. I mean, why did Yagavina work all those years? Kol osha shehitzu ad Hashem meyavinu lonu uvaneinu. So that was the purpose. So he could be a maimon shiftei kaar. Without that, he couldn't do it. That goes back to the other question. But the main question, it seems, the main question was, why do we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nakom? That's the question. Nakom nikmas dam v'dechasa. Hashem chiva v'nakom yashiv l'tzorov v'chipar ad maso amal. Kidam avodav yikam v'nakom yashiv l'tzorov v'chipar ad maso amal. And it's a Torah Nevi'im Iksu. Torah Nevi'im Iksu. Three. The Rambam, do me a favor. The Rambam, I want to take a Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. In chapter, just give me a second here. It's 41, okay? XLI. In this edition, 344. Okay? He says, the precepts of the sixth class comprise the different ways of punishing the sinner. Their general usefulness is known and has also been mentioned by us. I will here describe them one by one and point out their nature in detail. Nicely like this. So he says, listen carefully. I'm going to read a little bit, but listen. There's something that keeps on, if you listen carefully, there's something that keeps on recurring here. He says, the punishment of him who sins against his neighbor consists in the general rule that there shall be done unto him exactly as he has done. If he has injured anyone personally, he must suffer personally. If he damaged the property of his neighbor, he shall be punished by loss of property. But the person whose property has been damaged should be ready to resign his claim totally or partly. In other words, he could be Michael. Only to the murderer we must not be lenient because of the greatness of his crime, and no ransom must be accepted of him. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Okay? Okay. Hence, even if the murdered, the Rambam's case, even if the murdered person continued to live after the attack for an hour or for days, and he was able to speak and possess complete consciousness, and even if he himself said, pardon my murderer, I have pardoned and forgiven him, he must not be obeyed. Can't be my fault. Interesting, huh? We must take a life for a life and estimate equally the life of a child and that of a grown-up person, of a slave and of a free man, of a wise man and of a fool. For there is no greater sin than this. And then he says, and he who mutilated a limb of his neighbor must himself lose a limb. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Kashe yitma b'miso, kein yi nosein bo. What? Kashe yitma b'odom, kein yi nosein bo. Now it's like this. You must not raise an objection from our practice of imposing a fine in such cases. In other words, you ask a question, how come we don't do that? And you raise an objection from our practice of imposing a fine. We impose a fine. In other words, if somebody severs another person's arm, so do we sever the individual's arm who caused the damage to the other person? No, we don't do that. What do?
Money.
Moment achasayim, moment achasayim, moment achasayim, moment achasayim. Okay? So what's the Rambam saying? The Rambam seems to be saying, he says before, no. He says that actually a person who is, he says he can be Meichel when it comes to money. When it comes to life, can't be Meichel. Even if he's Meichel, it doesn't mean a thing, he says. But he says, he who has mutilated a limb of his neighbor must himself lose a limb. And he says, you must not raise an objection from a practice of imposing a fine in such cases. I ask a kashi, we don't do that. Don't ask that question. Why? For we have proposed to ourselves to give here the reason for the precepts mentioned in the law, and not for that which is stated in the Talmud. Yeah. What is the Rambam saying? Really? What is the Rambam saying? So according to the Rambam, I understand. If a person says that ayin tachas ayin is mamish in the Torah, I mean, to us, he's basically a kafir. A person that says that ayin tachas ayin is a tzduki. I mean, to say that the Rambam is saying that really you must remove his limb. He's saying, the Gemara says that our custom is to pay a fine. I'm not explaining the Talmud. In other words, the mikra doesn't mean that, he's saying. He's saying the mikra means simply remove his limb. But now the Gemara comes along and introduced a new custom. I mean, it sounds a loved one. It sounds like a conservative historical approach. Yep. He says, I have, however, an explanation for the interpretation given in the Talmud. But it will be communicated viva voce. Personally. And then he just says a little bit, injuries that cannot be reproduced exactly in another person are compensated for by payment. Only he shall pay for the loss of time, and he shall... There's actually going on a different subject there. But he's saying injuries that cannot be reproduced exactly in another person, then it's payment. Only he shall pay for the loss of time and cause him to be thoroughly healed. Okay, it's a question whether he's trying to hint, to give you an allusion to his answer, but whatever. But the Rambam on the surface seems to be, I mean, to us, somebody that says that ayin tachas ayin, that it literally means, but along came the Talmud, and the Talmud introduced the custom. I mean, but really it means ayin tachas ayin mamash. I mean, it's all the Rishonim, everyone says, and they go to great lengths to prove it can't be mamash. And Rambam, excuse me? Yeah. You mean in the yacht?
And Kershaw's
time. Yeah, but that's in the Talmud.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah. I think the answer to this, this question is that based on the Rambam's understanding of Tarash Bachsav, you say of Tarash Bachsav. In other words, like this, in Mikra and Tarash Bachsav, if you learn the Rambam. You see, the Rambam always held that the principles of Yahadus is really emerges from the Chachma of Tarash B'Chsav. That's why, as I mentioned last week, the Rambam says that how does he know his whole philosophy didn't have Masorah, how did he know it? From Divrei Nevi'im. Dvar Hashem, that's Kabbalah. Kabbalah is Divrei Nevi'im. It means knowledge you couldn't have in any other way except through Nevi'im. The human mind, Aristotle's mind, could never possibly anticipate such knowledge beyond man. So he can only be a recipient. He can't be creative in that area. He can be a recipient, but not a creative mind. His mind can't act creatively in those areas. That's why he needs Nevuah. So Nevuah, according to the Rambam Sheet in general, the whole Torah Shebachsav is a different realm. It's a realm of the Dvar Hashem, and it has tremendous chokhmah in its own way, in a different way. You see, in a different way. The Dvar Hashem conveys certain principles, and the Dvar Hashem is the literal Dvar Hashem. In other words, when it says ayin tachas ayin, so it means ayin tachas ayin. That's the Dvar. The Dvar Hashem didn't say ayin tachas ayin if it meant moment tachas ayin. You see? But there's a difference between the Dvar Hashem and between the Halacha. The Dvar Hashem was given in a certain way because essentially it's conveying a certain philosophical principle. You see, Torah Shebachsav has its own realm, and there can't be a shinui in the Dvar Hashem. Halacha is a different thing. How we should keep Halacha. That's a different thing. That's derived from Torah Shebachsav. There are methods that must be used to derive the halacha from Torah Shebachsav. But the Dvar Hashem that was given The initial Dvar Hashem has its own Torah, has its own system of Chachma, it has its own objective, a completely different objective than Halacha. It's the objective is Divrei Nevuah, it's the science of those things that man cannot attain through his own creative mind, but he is able to be a recipient of it. He can receive it. The human mind can receive it, but cannot produce it. So the greatest philosopher could never know it, but man's intelligence is great enough that he can understand it if it's given over to him. Okay, like it's a like we mentioned many times, like in science. I mean, there's one Einstein, but once he discovers it, a lot of people don't understand. So there are many things your mind can't be creative in regard to, in terms of receiving the knowledge, it's capable. That's really what Nevuah is. But the Rambam held that Nevuah is a completely different realm. The Dvar Hashem has its own realm, and if the Torah meant to say Mama in Tachasayin, it could say very very easily Mama in Tachasayin. So why was the Dvar Hashem Ayin Tachasayin? Because in Torah Shebachsav, in that realm of Chachma, there is a concept there, there's an idea there, but the idea is limited to the realm of Torah Shebachsav, you see. And so far as Halacha is something different. Halacha, you have to use methods of derivation. That's your Gilmidish HaTorah Nedreshes plan. And you take the Dvar Hashem, and then you use these methods, and then you arrive at a halachic system that the Sanhedrin enforces, you see. But it's two different things. You don't wipe out. Doesn't mean ayin tachas ayin is the same thing as if the Torah would have said mamma tachas ayin. That was the same thing, so there'd be no reason to say ayin tachas ayin. But ayin tachas ayin is an idea in the Dvar that the Dvar Hashem conveys. What is the idea? That's the question. What is the idea? Okay? Now listen, see, from reading him, he gives you the idea. I'll read you the sentence in which he conveys the idea. But it comes up a few times. The punishment of him who sins against his neighbor consists in the general rule that there shall be done unto him exactly as he has done. If he injured anyone personally, he must suffer personally. If he damaged the property of his neighbor, he shall be punished by loss of property. Okay? But the person whose property has been damaged should be ready to resign his claim totally or partly. That's on his meat, he should be Michael. Only to the murderer we must not be lenient. Okay. But what is the underlying idea the Rambam saying? What's the underlying idea? No. What the Rambam is saying is that justice does not know of compromise. There's no compromise in the human mind, in the idea of justice, there's no compromise. It must be exact. You see, it must be exact. In other words, and the same is true in the positive as the negative. If an individual did you a favor of X proportion, justice demands that you return the favor exactly, precisely, not more, not less. You want to do more, that's something else, then you're doing him a favor. But in terms of justice, the idea of justice in the human mind demands exactness. If you take away exactness, you have no justice. It's not possible to have justice b'mitzvos. The human mind is like saying equality. There's partial equality. You see? There's no such thing. Equality is either 100% equality or it's nothing. You can't compromise equality. We'll have a little bit of equality. Not possible. It's indivisible. So the point is, so the idea the Rambam is saying is, that's what the Dvar Hashem enunciated. The Dvar Hashem enunciated Ayin Kasher, and you see the Torah, it's not just Ayin Tachasayin, that's a problem if you're going to tell me that that's what the Pasuk means. Yeah, so you'll say it couldn't mean this, give me all the arguments, very nice. But Kasher Yitein Mum Bo'odom Kein Yinasein Bo, what are you going to do with that Pasuk? Yeah, he says, what does the Pasuk say? The Rambam tells you what the Dvar Hashem is telling you. The Dvar Hashem is talking about the idea of justice. And there's no idea of justice the moment you compromise. It must be exactly. If it's not exact, it's not justice. Just like saying if it's not exactly equal, it's not almost equal. It's not equal. So justice demands precision, exactness. You see, that's what the Rambam says. You can't see that it's woven into his words. But the punishment of him who sins against neighbor consists in the general rule that it be done unto him exactly as he has done. And he goes on. If he has injured one personally, he must suffer personally. If he has damaged property, he should lose property. Okay? Then he talks about what a guy can be. Okay, it's nice for the person in Machon counts the money, there's nothing exact. But when it comes to Nefeshes, there he says Mechila won't work. Why, he says? Because the sin is very serious. He says, only the murderer. We must not be lenient because of the greatness of his crime. And no ransom must be accepted for him. See? That's what the Torah says, that the Torah mentions openly. What does it mean? What does it mean? It doesn't mean that you can't have rachmanis on the murderer. It means you can't forfeit justice. And the moment you take away the idea of nefesh b'nefesh, that's not justice anymore. Not justice anymore. You see, that's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam means by the Talmud. He says, and don't ask me from the Talmud. The Talmud says the custom is that we, in other words, it's custom doer. He means the halach is that the way we in fact act, the nihug is that you actually pay money. It's because that's a separate realm. That's not the realm of the Dvar Hashem. That's the realm of halacha. And halacha, there are methods to derive halacha from the Dvar Hashem. That's the system of Yadus. The system of Yadus is the Dvar Hashem, and then there's a whole method. A whole method, if you use this method of analysis, you come to halacha conclusions. But it does not erase the Dvar Hashem. It does not mean mama tachasayin. It means ayin tachasayin. And it must be exact. And the Torah mentions it many times in Tashul Sarab. And that's what the Rambam says. That's the principle. The principle of Yadus is there's no such thing as partial justice. So therefore, this idea must be clear that partial justice is no justice. Zero. Okay? Now you see, we in Yahadus have a very serious premise that we maintain is true. And that is that this world has a diet. See? That this world has a diet. Others don't accept that. But we maintain that it is difficult for us as it is to see, according to our view, how justice takes place. But really, there is a perfect system of justice going on. Okay? Now, we maintain this two things. We maintain that there is a system of justice. We maintain there is a system of justice. And we maintain also that the recognition of that justice, of the fact that there is a judge, in other words, the fact that there is a dayan, is really the objective, one of the objectives of the Kol HaTarakol. Because we mentioned this, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvan Al Kiddush Shmo HaGadol, and the Kiddush Shmo HaGadol is Din. Din. Kiddush Shmo HaGadol is the fact that a Kodesh Baruch is dying. Where do you see that idea that Mishpat is really Kiddush Hashem? Rashi says, on Oz Yashir. Remember, Kishakash Bachu Ose Din Mishpat in Harashayim, Shimon is Kaddish. Shimon is Kaddish. And we say, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem, the Rambam says. So what does it mean? As we mentioned last week, it means that Klal Yisrael coming into existence is a new vehicle of Kiddush Shema HaGadol that didn't exist in the time of the Avos. The Avos didn't have that. But the moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought into existence Klal Yisrael, he brought into existence a specific vehicle of Kiddush Shema HaGadol. And it's our objective is to make sure to demonstrate to the world Kiddush Shema HaGadol. And one of the aspects, a very integral aspect of Kiddush Shema HaGadol is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a dayon and there's mishpat. So as long as it's not manifest, as long as mishpat and justice is an eye for an eye, Shein tachashein, nefesh ben nefesh. You cannot, the moment you take away, you compromise, there is no justice. That's what the Rambam says. The idea of justice can't be split. See, people have a hard time with it because people want to feel that they don't want to impose it because they feel that I don't want to be, their emotions of rahmanis. You see, their emotional, but that has, emotion of Rahmanis, we recognize it. We recognize Rahmanis in the Torah. But you can't let Rahmanis wipe out a concept of the human mind. You understand? Justice cannot have, justice and Rahmanis are two different things. You can't just take these two and mix them together and now you have like a halfway justice. That's absolutely false. The mind sees justice clear. It's like equality. It must be precise. Then there's another halacha where how Rahmanis comes into the picture. Halachas, how to do that? How come Bezdin doesn't kill people off? But that's a different thing. But the justice, the idea of justice, isn't compromised. Cannot be compromised. So one of the purposes of our existence, the essential purpose, I would say the essential purpose, like I said, the one thing we're talking about, is Kiddush Mar Gadol. That's the essential purpose. That's the whole purpose. So therefore, insofar as we are related totally, I mean intellectually and emotionally and with our whole inner nature, insofar as we have a desire to fulfill the objective of Kiddush Shema Gadol, we must, ipso facto, we must have a desire that it should be manifest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan, there's a Din and there's a Dayan, and it's not possible that the Jews died in the past and that will not be rectified. That's not possible. Because as long as that is so, there is no justice. And it's less Din and less Dayan. So we, as Klal Yisrael, and so far as we're attached to our purpose, to be Mekadosh Shema Gadol, we must, the thing that stands out is that there's a chil shmo, chil Hashem, because of the fact that Jews died indiscriminately as if there's less din, less dayan. And as long as that's not corrected, there is no Kiddush Mar Gadol. So, v'chiva, v'nakom, yashiv l'tzara, v'chipra admaso amo, is a halacha, is really the idea is that's really, the shira sazinu is the shira of the ashgacha. That's the whole shira. That's the harni. Right, harninu goyim amo. What does it mean? It means that they'll praise Klal Yisrael. Why? Kidama vodav yikom. So what does it mean? It means there's no kiddush mo unless justice is manifest. V'nakam yashiv l'tzar v'chiprad masa amo. That's basically it. That's the last possible. The very last possible. So that's why Chazal say, Godel Nekama Shenitin Ben Shtei Shemos. Because the Shem Hashem is Neskadesh through the manifestation in the world of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true Dayan. And that the idea that less din the less Dayan and that people's lives are hefker and there is no Dayan, that is Chil Shema Gadol. That's basically the underlying. That's the idea. Nekama means when there is a situation which is long-standing, existing, in which the dayanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not manifest, and now it must be changed. That's really what Nekama means. Kel Nekama Hashem means that HaKadosh Kel Nekama Hafia. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests the fact that he is the Dayan, that there is a Dayan, and that man has to know that there is a Dayan. And through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael, that's the primary form of manifesting that idea. That's really what that's the concept of Nekama. That's Gadol Nekama. You can say with regard to Yachid, you don't understand. You can't say with regard to Klal Yisrael, it's not possible. Klal Yisrael, that's why I say Nekom Nikmas Dama Vodecho Ashafuch. That's the that you can't say. Individually we don't understand, but there are certain things which are clear. That definitely is an injustice. It's an injustice, and there's no manifestation of the Dayan on us. So therefore, we must, insofar as our whole objective is to demonstrate to the world, Kiddush Shmo HaGadol, you must have Nekama. There is no, Nekama must be Ayin Tachas Ayin, Nefesh B'Nefesh, Nefesh, it Kesh, Kasha Yitin Mumba Miso, Kei Nasambal. And if it's not exact, it's not. There is no justice. That's the law. Yeah. Difference between mishpat and nekama is mishpat is bismano. It's bismano. There's a time a person did it wrong, so then you can't kill him before he does it. So the moment he does it, after he does it, now there's a situation where the melech mishpat takes care of it. But nekama is where the wrong has not been addressed. And there has not been any mishpat. Now there must be nekama in order to establish mishpat. That's the nekama mishpat. Okay. Now let's get back to the question of losikam velositors b'nei amecha. Losikam velositors b'nei amecha. So now think like this. So we asked the question. We said, why does the Rambam say you shouldn't take nekama because the havle olam hazeh are not significant? What do you mean? Insofar as the tzaddik is concerned, it's very significant. This will enable him to sit and learn Torah. So what do you mean? It's not significant. Yeah. So the answer, and then the first question we asked was the main question was that why does the Rambam have to give a reason for nekama if it's pretty obvious? It means that the person is distorted in his whole view of Torah and then Yahadus and his whole view of a Kaddish Baruch Hu being that you're dying. So the answer is like this. That the Rambam's not even talking about. If a person takes nekama because he thinks the other individual got away with something and he will get away, then he's a totally distorted individual. So you don't even, that's not the love of losikam. That goes without saying. That's just a person that's a total fool and a person that has no knowledge and no understanding of what the real good is in life. And therefore, he's making a big mistake because the other person harmed himself more than he could do back to him. And by doing evil, he didn't get away with anything. On the contrary, he harmed his soul and caused himself the greatest harm. And he has to be the most miserable individual. So it's not possible for him to ever attain any good or any happiness or anything of value in life. So a person that really is a rusher, you don't have to get him back. That's childish. That's not losikim according to the Rambam. That's the pasha. But what the Rambam's losikam is a different idea. It's the same idea of nekama like kel nekama sashem, which means that the person will say that I will be a dayan myself. This individual wronged me, so therefore justice has not been served. So therefore, I will implement Adam Don Dina Danafshe. I will implement justice myself. I will implement justice myself. That idea, that's where the love of Losikam comes in. The love of Losikam doesn't come in on the distorted individual who thinks the other person got away with it, now I'll get him back. That's childish. That's that you don't need love for. Okay? The love comes in on a different level, a much higher level. A person's beyond that, but a person can be beyond that because say, look, this individual did an injustice, committed an injustice, and therefore I have to be the dayan, and therefore I have to correct the situation. Adam done did it in Afshe. You see? So that's where the Rambam says, that on Divrei Olam Haza, ain't roy lincoln. It's not roy for the person. I'll explain a little bit what it means in a minute, but it's not roy for the person to do it. Now that answers the question, the second question too, because the question we raised was, what do you mean? He harmed you, you took away your Torah. You took away to this individual, to Yaakov, you know, the money in the Torah is identical. Took away them. The answer is, if you speak in the framework of getting back at him, you're right. But if you speak in the framework of justice, all he did was he took money. In other words, if you go before a judge, and somebody took away the money of a Talmud Chacham, the judge can't say, you know what, this isn't money, this is Torah he stole. We're going to punish him for Torah. That's not justice. What the person's going to use it for is outside the realm. See, injustice you can only deal with the object that the person took. It doesn't make any difference. That's what the Rambam says.